You're listening to the Love Radio Network worldwide. LoveRadioNetwork.com. Educational, inspirational, trending topics, and the hottest hits. With award-winning talk show host and personality. And you made us number one. Thank you. Love Radio Network. Building a network of love.
Couch Chronicles with Simone Hurt, Wednesdays at 9 p.m. Eastern. This show is based upon men and women of each generation being able to talk and explore the various life cycles from cradle to the grave, learning from each other's experiences. Couch Chronicles empowers those who have taken the journey but may not have the understanding of their options to grow to the strongest kings and queens that they are. Tune in to Couch Chronicles Wednesdays at 9 p.m. Eastern with Simone Hurt on LoveRadioNetwork.com. Join life coach Eric Yarborough for Man Cave Dialogue, Saturday mornings at 11 a.m. Real conversation about various topics from a male perspective. It's Man Cave Dialogue with life coach Eric Yarborough, Saturday mornings at 11 a.m. on LoveRadioNetwork.com.
I've been on the low, I've been taking my time. I feel like I'm out of my mind. It feel like my life ain't mine. Who can relate? Woo! I've been on the low, I've been taking my time. I feel like I'm out of my mind. It feel like my life ain't mine. I don't wanna be alive. I don't wanna be alive. I just wanna die today. I just wanna die. Other shit I'm talking about, they think they know it. I've been praying for somebody to save me, no one's heroic. And my life don't even matter, I know it, I know it. I know I'm hurting deep down, but can't show it. I never had a place to call my own. I never had a home. Ain't nobody calling my phone. Where you been, where you at, what's on your mind? They say every life precious, but nobody care about mine. I've been on the low, I've been taking my time. I feel like I'm out of my mind. It feel like my life ain't mine. Who can relate? I've been on the low, I've been taking my time. I feel like I'm out of my mind. It feel like my life ain't mine. I want you to be alive. I want you to be alive. You don't gotta die today. You don't gotta die. I want you to be alive. I want you to be alive. You don't gotta die. Now let me tell you why.
It's the very first breath when your head's been drowning underwater. And it's the lightness in the air when you're there chest to chest with the lover. It's holding on though the road's lonely, seeing light in the dark gets sick. And when you stare at your reflection, finding hope in who you think. I know that you'll thank God you.
I know where you've been, where you are, where you're going. I know you're the reason I believe in life. What's a day without a little night? I'm just trying to set a little light. It can be hard, it can be so hard, but you gotta live right now, you got everything to give right now. I've been on the low, I've been taking my time, I feel like I'm out of my mind, it feel like my life ain't mine. Who can relate? Woo! I've been on the low, I've been taking my time, I feel like I'm out of my mind, it feel like my life ain't mine. I finally wanna be alive.
Am I my brother's keeper?
Yes, I am.
Good morning, everybody. The weekend is finally here, and I would like to welcome all our family and friends and guests to the Man Cave Dialogue Show here on Love Radio Network. I am your host, Eric Yarborough.
And I am your co-host, Cordero Ashton, a.k.a. C.
She's a Leo, tuning in and sharing your time. Thanks for tuning in and sharing your time with us this morning. Family and friends, you can call by joining the show by dialing 563-999-3519 and press 1 to join the show. Family, we'd like to thank everyone for the continued support of Man Cave Dialogue. You can join us now. We just created a Facebook page. C's is e.c.mancavepodcast on Facebook. So make sure you send us a friend request. Family, we had a very interesting topic last week. It's Chivalry Day, C's.
Yeah.
How did you like the show last week, C's?
It was good. It was good. It was really good.
Yeah, I think a good thing about it was that a lot of people, men and both women, still like chivalry, man. We still got chivalrous ways we want to do things.
Still got chivalry in the world.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Praying everyone as well. We'd like to dedicate today's show to all the women out there. Woo-hoo. This month is National Women's History Month. Our topic today will be an interesting one, and we hope it brings joy to all the women out here today. C's,
yes, sir.
Our topic today is mental health issues and relationships.
Wow.
I guess before we start, I want to give a big happy birthday shout out to my cousin, LaShar. It's her birthday today.
Happy birthday.
My buddy, Richie Barksdale, who just celebrated a birthday. And my little cousin, Little King, he celebrated his 6th birthday.
Oh, wow.
You got anybody in the family birthdays?
My nephew.
Your nephew, okay. And Mama Tate, she probably watching now out in Georgia. Big shout out to her. It was her birthday as well. And also, you know, got some sad news. My condolences goes out to the Davis and Tillman family for losing Miss Jackie. She passed away. So my condolences goes out to their family.
Yes.
But mental health issues and relationships, Siegs. How you feel about that, my brother? That's a deep topic.
It is, and while we were getting ready, I was listening to that song, and I was just like, wow, there's so many people in the world that go through that, what he was talking about, you know, as far as, you know, I feel like I'm on my own, I feel like I'm alone, you know, I feel like nobody cares what I'm going through, and mental health can stem from you being a child, things that happened to you as a child, things that happen to you as an adult, even down to changing yourself over, because nowadays we're dealing with that with people, guys wanting to be girls and girls wanting to be guys. How do you deal with that too? You know, you have to deal with
spousal
abuse, having to deal with verbal abuse and just a lot of issues, you know, losing a loved one and, you know, somebody being there to help you, because I know when I lost my...
Well, tell us a story, because we talked about this Tuesday, and, you know.
For me, I would say, I speak on myself, when I had lost my grandmother, me and her were very close. That was like, she was my best friend. I would call, we'd pray together, and all that. So what happened was my grandmother was about to go to the other side. Me and her, we was in the room together. She was in the hospital. She said, she called me Cordy Cord. She said, Cordy Cord, I'm tired. I said, jokingly, I said, Gramps, take a nap. But I knew she was coming from, you know, and she wanted to go into more detail. But my brother walked in the room. But I had shut down from that point because I knew it was about to happen. So when she passed away, I was in a place where I lost my best friend. I didn't do anything crazy, but I shut down because, you know, somebody had told me, oh, we were there when your grandmother, before she passed away, and you should have been there. So I felt bad because I wasn't there, but my wife, you know, told me, you know, you should go see therapy, and I was like, I don't know. So I did go see therapy. I went to a therapist.
There's nothing wrong with therapists. And big shout out to the therapists out there.
Yes. Big shout out to the therapist. And it was not only a very good thing for me to do, but it also developed me to being a photographer, because that's how I started off after my grandmother passed away. I started taking pictures with my phone, and people were like, oh, these are really nice, you know, stuff like that.
Oh, they was lying. That was your phone.
No good pictures. I'm going to show you. I still got
them. No good pictures with your phone, see.
I still got them.
See, don't believe. You know, people tell you anything, see. Don't believe them.
But they hype me up, though.
All right, that's all you need is a hype, man.
They hype me up. My wife hyped me up. People would hype me up. So, I still think about my grandmother all the time, and even now where I'm about to have a son, and, you know, I don't have her here, you know. That was my prayer partner. You know, we'd get on the phone, we'd start talking, and I say, Grams, let me pray. Let's pray before we leave, and we'll just start praying. Now I look to my dad to fill that gap, you know. So when he calls me early in the morning, we having a conversation. It's not the same because my grandmother's gone, but that's
never gonna be the same.
Closest person I have to her. And then I'll say one more thing. This lady at my job, Miss Debbie, it was a white lady, awesome lady. I felt like she was my grandmother, not my grandmother, but she was like my grandmother.
Yeah.
So one day we in the parking lot after work, and this is where I got my closure. We was in the parking lot, and I was like, Miss Debbie, I'm gonna pray before we break up apart. So I prayed, and all of a sudden I said, and Lord God, thank you for Miss Debbie, not replacing my grandmother, but being someone I can look to as a grandmother. And I lost it. I think I scared this white lady. I was bawling in the parking lot.
Oh, Lord.
But
security.
I felt a relief. I felt a relief of pressure, of built up.
Everything.
Hatred, but you know, it was just
you had that moment, and when you get it out, it's
yeah.
You felt a lot better.
Yeah, I did. I did.
Jeez, I'm here for you, man. You need
Thank you, buddy.
I tell you every time, I'm charging you for this therapy. Just give me your insurance card. It's a therapy session.
I got that Blue Cross Blue Shield, buddy.
That's why you got that Johnson & Johnson shot.
So, what is your take on mental health?
I think you know. Me personally, I think mental health, it strikes a nerve all the time because me, myself, you know, I don't drink. And the reason why I don't drink is my father used to be an alcoholic and, you know, beat on my mom.
Wow.
And I always promised my mother, this is just me, you know, being truthful for all of this. I always promised my mother, like, yeah, I'm not going to never drink. And everybody, you know, all my buddies know, big shout out to my Jersey boys, they know who they are. Everybody know I don't drink, and you know.
I know.
I mean, it's always a reason behind it, and everybody be like, why you don't drink, you know, and you don't want to tell everybody, nah, I just don't. I just think that, you know, when you see, I didn't really see, but when I hear the stories with my mom and my sisters telling me, it's like, I don't want to be that man.
Right.
Like, And it's all about, it's like, you know, it's like the cycle keeps going.
Repeating itself.
Yeah, it keeps going. And, like, you got to be bigger than the cycle, you know? And my thing was for me to show that I'm bigger than the cycle. I mean, I don't need the drinks anyway. I'm already off the hook. So I just feel like, it was important for me to break that generational curse. It was a generational curse, I feel. And I think mental health is like, it's a big thing. And it's like, if we don't talk about it and feel it, like when that bothers me. It's like, it bothered me to the day. And I think I never got closure because I was never able to talk to my dad, you know. I went to go visit him one time, like I told you. Me and EJ drove to somewhere in Virginia. He never showed up. But that was closure for me because I was reaching out to him, not for my own mental state, but for his to say, hey, you know, there's nothing you can do for me, but I have a son. I'd rather want you to meet my son. So that was mental health as well. It's not physical or verbal abuse.
Right.
And as many times, like, I dated this girl before for, you know, a little time, and it's like, she verbally abused me. Like, she knew about my father. She's like, well, you ain't gonna be nothing. You're gonna be just like your father. It's like, when you open up to people, they use that. They use it against you. And you want to open up to people because you feel like that's the person you want to be with. But when they use it against you, you know, what can you do, Steves? It's like, should I open up again, or will it be used against me again? It's like we were talking on Tuesday when we did our recap. It's like, it's important because The abuse, it hurts. But the verbal abuse, that don't never go away, yo. It don't.
No.
And that, yo, that hurts.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, personally, like, mental health is, it's important, I think. And a lot of people of color don't want to go see a therapist. And there's nothing wrong with a therapist. I know. I went. I went when I first had EJ.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know. I it's no blueprint. I didn't have
a
blueprint.
To be a parent.
Yeah, I had no blueprint. I saw what my mother did, but coming from a mom's point of view, from a dad's point of view, you know,
right,
it's different.
It's like that's, nah, this might be wrong for me to say, and I don't mean it this way.
Oh, Lord. Here we go, but Johnson & Johnson.
It's like, is that's what they're supposed to do?
What? Show you the blueprint?
No. The mother role is supposed to...
Get you ready.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's to get you ready to be a dad.
So what's the father role?
The father role is for him to get his son ready to be a dad also.
Yeah. So I just think that, hey, big shout out to everybody. There's a lot of people on the phone. They have 563-999-3519. Press 1. There's a lot of people on the phone lines. Join us. You can come join, talk. I mean, everybody, we all go through some type of abuse. And it's important. Me and C's won't charge you too much. We just need an insurance card number.
Mm-hmm.
We want people to express themselves, because if you ball it in, keep it in, I mean, it's just going to eat away at you.
Yeah.
You know, just like the whole thing. Like, I always, you know, I always play around with my sons and whatever, but they're the best thing that ever happened to me. I'd be like, oh, I would tell Max, oh, you're adopted, and EJ, oh, you need to go. But the thing about it is that's the best thing that ever happened to me, you know? They allow me to be me, and they accept me. And when I have a bad day, I come home, they don't care about that, you know? They love me for who I am.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I want to teach them the finer things in life. That's probably my problem now. But I want to make sure that anything that goes through, like EJ, grandma, rest in peace, Beverly St. Rose, she passed away. His freshman year, he was going through a time, man. So that's like, and big shout out to D. St. Rose, because, you know, you never get over stuff like that. But I was just telling him, like, yo, it's important to get it all out, man. Cry. It's real men cry, man.
Yeah.
Don't let people, hey, guys out there, real men cry, man. At the end of the day, it's important to get it out, because the more you hold it and ball it in, It would keep eating away at you.
And you become more reckless.
Yeah.
And do more reckless stuff.
Yeah. I think it's important for us as people to definitely go to therapy.
Enjoyed it.
You enjoyed it?
I really did.
Why you enjoyed it?
I enjoyed it.
You had your mini skirt on? okay. My bad. I don't get you no trouble. Sorry.
She was a nice lady.
You about to say nice looking lady.
She was a nice looking lady.
Bad boys for life, boy.
Crazy. But I enjoyed going, because not only did I talk about my grandmother, but I talked about other things
that bothered you.
That bothered me.
And you didn't even know it bothered you.
That I didn't know it bothered
me. Oh, I know. That's why it's important. And big shout out to the therapist, man. I know you got to deal with our problems, your problems. And,
I know.
Yo, get your red cup. Get a red cup. And, yo, it's. I couldn't be a therapist, geez. Because I got my own problems and issues.
Right. I don't see how, I mean, I can see how they talk to people, but just back and just, you know, have a whole bunch of people talking to all day. Like, who listens to your problems as being the therapist? And I wonder what they do.
Kick the dog when they go home.
to cope with having all that information taken in.
Yo, it's a lot.
Of somebody else, you know. Even with Iyana Van Zandt, like,
oh yeah,
she is awesome.
Fix my life.
Yeah, she is awesome.
But she go through it, yo.
Mm-hmm.
But she know how to talk, even when they like see me when they talking slick to me. Mm-hmm. Like the lady said, always got something slick to say.
Always got something slick to say out your mouth.
But like, she just let them say it, and she just be like, she has patience.
Mm-hmm.
You gotta have a lot of patience to be a therapist, man.
Yeah. I could be a therapist.
Can you? You got patience.
I have a lot of patience.
I don't know how you deal with me. I don't got no patience. See,
I have a lot of patience. I don't know where they come from.
That's good though.
I think in my past life I was a butthole.
Probably was. You probably still is. But it's a couple of things. Tips for coping when you have mental health. Show support and sympathy.
Yes.
I think that's a key.
That is very important. Because some people that go, like, okay, prime example, vets that come home.
Yeah, military vets.
Go through a lot of stuff. And, you know, I don't think, I told somebody, who was this? It just was yesterday. I said the vets don't get enough support from the government. I don't think they do. Because
yeah, when they get out, they're on their own.
The guy was talking to me yesterday. He had his CDOs. He works for the school board. But he had his CDOs through the military.
Mm-hmm.
And he wanted to switch over to
a residential CDO. Because he had his CDOs in the military.
Right. But they wouldn't let him do that. And in my mind, I'm like, if you're a vet or you're in service serving your country, you should be able to...
Do whatever.
Not do whatever, but switch over.
Whatever.
To switch over your stuff, you know, you served your country, but I don't think that that's, you know,
it's not that easy though. I think after they do what they do with the country, they don't care, they care less about them. That's how I feel.
You're right.
There's a lot of guys that be on the side, homeless vets.
Mm-hmm.
It is, man. Mm-hmm. It's crazy. And you did all of that. You served that country.
Right.
You here homeless.
Almost got shot at ATVs and all that other
all that
stuff.
Noise.
All that noise.
Yeah.
And you come home to your family. And then they have, not saying deal with you, but they have to cope with what you're going through.
Yeah.
You know, you wake up in cold sweats at night and, you know, about to...
I do that anyway.
Next to your, sleeping with the knife underneath the bed and stuff like that, and you're scaring your kids and all that. You know, it's a lot, you know. And we as African Americans, we deal with a lot, you know. Caucasian people, they quick to just off themselves.
Yeah,
we'll rather just deal with it and keep it moving than to think about getting help or talking to somebody about the situation.
Yeah, I was just sitting here, Love Radio Network family, we're Facebook Live, we have a comment. Barbara Wiggins said, no one likes talking about it because they feel like they will be judged. And that's important too, C's.
So I would say to that.
Just talking about like mental health.
Right, right. But
even the person you with might judge you though. That's the problem.
Yeah, but they got to accept you for who you are. And if you're confining.
Who does that, C's?
Who does it?
Yeah, people going to judge you anyway.
I
judge you.
Yeah, you do.
That's Johnson & Johnson.
I know you. I got that shot.
Yo, since he got that shot, my boy's been off a little bit.
But
nah, go ahead with your comment. I probably messed you up.
You did.
Yeah, I messed
you. Lord Jesus.
Call him. He can help you.
Even, I guess you got to find the right person to confine in.
Yeah, that's important though.
I feel I'm a good listener. I listen to people's stories and I tend to keep them to myself.
Yeah, you did keep that story we took with the D.C. You ain't judging me or nothing.
No,
night.
I didn't. No,
you probably thought I was high or something that night.
He said he don't drink. I think he drinking that. I think he done had a couple of few.
That was mental health that night. I was mentally challenged that night, probably.
Yeah. But
we all have them.
I just feel like if somebody wants to confine in you, and tell you their problem. That's why we do have therapists, because you go to a therapist, there's you, just you and the therapist. You know, but if you go to your sister or your spouse or...
Oh, they're going
to
judge.
They might judge.
And by the time somebody else here...
And they might tell somebody else.
Oh, he need help.
You know, so they're going to be like, you know, they could be listening to what you're saying. Like, I'm listening to you right now, and I'm like, yo, I need to really tell somebody about Eric. I really need to tell somebody about Eric.
My mother already know.
That she used to beat you like Joe Jackson?
Nah, she dropped me on my head when I was a kid. That's why I got mental health problems.
Oh, Lord.
She dropped me.
I was trying to get Mother Pooh hemmed up.
Yo, see.
Why?
See, I was on her lap. She said she woke up, I was on the floor by her feet. She'll tell you the story.
What? Mother Pooh, if you on here.
Yo, I was dropped.
Mother Poole, if you on here, please state your case.
Nah, I mean, we all go through something.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we grew up in the projects. I might express this. I might have some of that, you know, paint in the project.
The lead paint?
Yeah.
You need to get your money.
I've probably been lead paint poisoning. Yeah, so.
You need to get your money.
I think we all have, you know, some type of illnesses,
mm-hmm.
but we just got to be open and honest about them, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And that's the problem with people like me, you know? I know personally myself, my mouth is not the best. I probably verbally said things that I said and I couldn't take back. And, you know, and I'm sorry for that, you know. I don't know, you know. I just think that, and like when we saying the other day, we don't let people do things for you.
Mm-hmm.
Like a couple of weeks ago, I wasn't feeling good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I called, I had Max and Ege. I was supposed to take them out. I called Tanya. I said, Tanya, I'm not feeling good. Can you come get the boys, like bring them something or whatever? Mm-hmm. But, you know, usually I will push uh-huh. away. I won't uh-huh. do it. I try to do everything.
Mm-hmm.
But I think I'm getting at the point now that I'm willing and able to get help instead
right.
of trying to be Superman all
mm-hmm.
the time.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's the day when you know you wasn't here. And I even told you, I wasn't feeling good. And it's like,
right.
you know, I try to thug it out. But, you know, at the end of the day, you can only do as much as you can.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I was food poisoning. I wasn't feeling good that whole day. But later on, I was all right. I had to get it up. You know, once you get it out and out, you know, you'd be mm-hmm. good. But I just feel like it's important, I think, to rely on somebody. And we don't. We try. We try not to. You know, see, that's a problem that we have, you know?
Yeah. We already answered that.
So you got questions. Uh-oh.
Yeah.
He's reading.
Well, I think we answered that, too.
Do you
think... us as African Americans, we don't like to talk about mental health.
We don't. Barbara said that too.
Yeah.
Oh, well, she didn't say that. She said we get judged a lot.
Uh-huh.
Like, so say we at a round table, just like guys, like we sitting there having like a little round table with guys.
Mm-hmm.
You think a guy gonna say, "Oh man, yeah, you know, I went to my therapist last week." You think somebody gonna say that? Hell no. See,
no, because
he gonna think we're gonna judge. We're gonna laugh at him.
But at the same time, we could also be helping somebody at that table.
We are. We're helping somebody right now. Someone's right. listening to us. They're going through
aha,
something.
Aha, you're right. We are on the radio.
We're helping somebody now. Someone's going through something right now, and we're touching them.
Mm-hmm.
We're touching them. We're touching their spirit.
Yeah.
We're shaking them. Get it out of them.
Yeah.
You know? It's important for us to talk about this because, we don't talk about this. We don't talk about this.
No.
In my house, we never say, hey, do you need help?
Mm-hmm. There's just always, oh, you all right?
Yeah, you all right. Chalk it up.
Yeah. Cheer up, Charlie.
But, yeah, I just feel like I think people need to start. So that's my other thing. The next thing, coping with mental health. Mm-hmm. Educate yourself.
Mm-hmm. Educate yourself.
Yeah. You need many people. Many people are uninformed about mental illness.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know. You could be dating someone. You don't know what they're going through.
No.
You need to educate yourself and know what's going on.
Yeah. People dating, I hear a lot of people say, we need to know your social security number, your bank account, all this X, Y, and Z. But at the end of the day, you need to know what somebody's mental health is first.
Yeah.
First is checking mental health.
Nah. Tracy said ain't the first thing she do.
What'd she do?
No, Tracy.
Oh. She checked the tic-tac.
Yeah. Tracy said, nah, mental health. Yeah.
She checking for tic-tacs or...
Vienna.
Vienna. Yeah, but, you know, I think helping each other, you know, family members that went through things, and us in our community, we always, you know, we don't talk about that. We don't talk about that. We don't discuss that matter, what happened to them a long time ago. But then when something happened to you as a kid, you get shunned out.
You do.
Or then you looked at being the one who did it.
Yeah. You, it's real.
You're looked at as the one who did it, but it's not your fault.
There's a lot of ladies out there that's been probably molested
mm-hmm.
and raped
by
their own family members.
And they
pushed it away.
Mm-hmm.
They was like, hey, don't worry about it. He's part of the family.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you don't want it to get out. So, hey, ladies, if that's you, hey, me and C's, you know, we're sorry that things happened.
Yeah.
You know, it's out of our control. It's out of our control. So we're sorry that it happened, and I hope everything goes good, you know. Mm-hmm. I hope you eventually was able to talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah. And if you want to talk about it.
Call. You can call.
Call,
you
know, any subject.
Call somebody, any subject, man. Talk it out. It's important to talk things out, man.
You know, I wonder how people feel. You know, most of the time they say the father's not in the picture. But how do you feel when the mother's not in the picture?
I don't know. We got a caller.
Okay.
But no, we're going to take a quick commercial break, and then we'll come back with a caller. Yeah, it's 11:30, see?
Jeez.
So we'll be right back, everybody. We'll take a quick commercial break and come right back with a caller. Thank you.
It's Ladies Night, each and every Thursday on LoveRadioNetwork.com. Tune in at 7 o'clock with Kimberly Renee for her show, Kiss of Life. At 7:30, Simone Hurt with A Single Woman's Love. 8 o'clock p.m., Tanya Maynard with Naturally Me, Naturally Free. Then at 8:30, it's The Gospel Express with Nina Taylor. Join us each and every Thursday for Ladies Night on LoveRadioNetwork.com. Couch Chronicles with Simone Hurt, Wednesdays at 9 p.m. Eastern. This show is based upon men and women of each generation being able to talk and explore the various life cycles from cradle to the grave, learning from each other's experiences. Couch Chronicles empowers those who have taken the journey but may not have the understanding of their options to grow to the strongest kings and queens that they are. Tune in to Couch Chronicles Wednesdays at 9 p.m. Eastern with Simone Hurt on LoveRadioNetwork.com.
Hey, welcome back to Man Cave. Once again, we're talking about mental health season. I think before we went to break, we had a caller. Caller, state your name and where you're from, please.
Tracy, I'm down here in B-more with you.
What's up, Tracy?
Good morning, Tracy.
Good morning. How you fellas doing today?
We're doing good. You got something to add about mental health?
Oh, yes. I'm personal, me, myself, I lost my mother to cancer in 2015. The last month, I've lived with her in hospice care in the hospital. And unfortunately, the last recent memories are spending that time in the hospital. And when I tell you, it took me over the deep, deep end, dark closet. I had to seek mental health at one point because I didn't want to talk to nobody. I didn't want to be around nobody. I lost my best friend in the whole world because at the time I wasn't working. So I was like her caregiver, even though she was stubborn and she was a trooper to the end. It took me way over the deep end. And I had to bite the bullet because, you know, in our community, seeking psychiatric help is taboo. Mm. And I said, no. Thank God for my kids, especially Kenya, my youngest one. She would call me 10 times a day just to check on me. Mm. All of them. All my kids made sure I was good. And once I finally bit the bullet, went to see somebody, it helped. I still have my daily struggles, but it helped to talk to somebody who didn't know me from a can of paint, wasn't judgmental, and even some of my friends looked at me like, oh, you really are crazy. No, I'm not crazy. I'm just having some issues because I lost my mother.
Wow. Hey, I got a quick question.
You know, it's a daily struggle, but if you need some help, don't be ashamed. Get it.
Yeah.
Get you some help.
I think I have a question, I guess, for you, Tracy, and probably C's as well. I think when you lose someone that close, do you lose a part of yourself as well, and that's why it's so hard to get back on track? And I'll let Tracy go first.
Yes, I feel like I lost my soul, my heart, because my mother, she was you would have thought I was the mother. She was up and go, traveled the world alone, saw everything. Ask my kids, they'll tell you. She was the best mom. Everybody's mom is good. I'm not taking that away. But I lost so much. I don't know what to do with myself anymore. Thank God, you know, my son, I'm helping him with the grandbaby because I wasn't doing anything because my left side was gone. All I had was my right side. But he left me a good legacy, which I'm glad of because they helped me out a lot still daily. But you do, because I took care of her. Her last month, I slept in that hospital in the room with her. So what do you do? I have nobody to look out for. And I lost so much when I losing my mom. Yeah, you do. Yeah. I lost half of me is gone.
Yeah. No, that was just something, you know, when people struggle, I think that they lose a part of them, you know, and I think that's like when you're that close to someone, it's like you lose a part of yourself. So
And
we were close. She got on my nerves, you know, mama get on your nerves, but I lost half of me.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Thanks, Tracy, for calling. I appreciate that.
Okay. Thank you, fellas. Good stuff. All right.
Thank you. Going. All right.
Love you. Bye.
Love you, too. So, C's, go ahead and answer that part, C's.
As she was talking, I thought about, you know, losing my grandmother was a big part. And I overall feel like I lost a part of myself because I have no more grandparents.
Both of them gone.
All of them gone.
Oh, wow.
All of them. I don't have no grandparents. But when she was talking, I thought about it from my grandmother, from my dad's mother, to my mom's mother, to my mom's mother, all my grandparents and great-grandparents, I have seen them decline and have been to them when they've been going through their sickness and, you know, taking care of my grandfather with my aunt and my mother, going down there washing him and just being there for all of them, you know. And having to, like you said, having to take care of somebody and they're gone. And then you don't know what to do with yourself anymore because you're so wrapped up.
You was
not in a bad way.
That was your every day.
That was your everyday thing. Like my uncle. I was taking care of my uncle, but now he's in a facility now.
Mm-hmm.
But if my uncle was to depart this earth while I'm taking care of him, I would be lost again.
Yeah, because you already.
Because I'm like, okay, once a month I take my uncle out.
Yeah.
But we ain't doing that no more. So you get used to and accustomed of being there for somebody that you're there in a good way. But at the same time, you know, they always say somebody who's not there, they're going to hit it the worst. They're going to hit it the worst.
Yeah.
You know, they're going to be the worst off or whatever like that. But it also hits the person who is in the picture. You know,
a lot too,
you know. When my grandmother was getting sick, everybody, oh, she's, this is it. And I'm like, no, this is not it. Oh, but I didn't feel no regrets of spending time with her. I think I was hurt by not having my best friend anymore.
Yeah, I understand.
You know.
Yeah. See who got another caller.
Okay.
Caller, state your name and where you're from, please.
Hi, good morning. This is Keenan calling from Texas.
Hey, what's going on, Keenan? How you doing?
Good morning.
I'm good. Good morning. I'm actually out on a morning run, but I have been laughing out loud. I've been talking back to y'all, so I decided
to call.
I really enjoyed your transparency and everything this morning. And one of the things that I wanted to add was, as Black people, we are, most of us are just very spiritual. That comes from our roots, from slavery and all of that. That's, we needed God to get us through. And sometimes I think that we still kind of use our religion or our spirituality to kind of use that as the only mechanism to help us with our mental health. So it's like, oh, you just need to pray more. You don't have faith in God. You're worrying too much. The Bible talks about this and that. And it's like we can go to the doctor for anything from the neck down, but from the neck up, when we're dealing with our mental space, we don't want to go to therapy, or we feel like that's a issue where we're not doing something right.
Oh, that's deep.
That is very deep.
Yeah.
It is true.
You're right. It's definitely a true statement.
You know, I've been to therapy for trauma, childhood trauma, or like my best friend being murdered and things like that. But at this point in life, sometimes I just go as a checkup. You know, just like you go to the doctor for a checkup, just talking to a counselor or someone as a checkup. I have an issue with kind of being superwoman, like Eric was saying, not knowing how to ask for help and things like that. And just that wisdom giving me another perspective to put things in a more clear view for me as far as how to manage the stresses of life and other things that may be going on. I don't necessarily have to be in a bad state to talk to a therapist.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
And that's true.
All right. And thank you for calling in with that different perspective. We really appreciate that.
Thank you.
Yeah, Steve, I think that was different. That mm-hmm. definitely, and I'm glad she said that. It's like we do go to doctors for everything.
Uh huh.
And you know, we was raised that you be like, just go pray,
just
pray,
go
on.
Pray.
Yeah,
just go pray on.
So,
but God also gives you therapists to go talk to somebody. But I think that, just like she said, that roots that comes from
Big Mama.
From family history down.
Talk
to God, which is not a bad thing. It is always good to talk to the Lord. But
sometimes you need more than the Lord.
We have to break that chain of stepping outside of our comfort zone and going to go talk to somebody. Break every chain.
Yeah, that's a song, brother. Yeah, that's a song. See? Another little gospel, man. See?
Yeah. Like, that was deep. And her going through her childhood trauma, you know.
Yeah.
Wow, it's like being killed.
Yeah. I think the biggest, like, I really didn't have, like, a lot of childhood trauma. I think the biggest thing, when I lost my stepfather, Smitty,
mm-hmm.
he passed away when I was in high school. Yeah, I was in high school. And I sat on the train tracks before, yo.
What?
I did.
Wow.
I sat on the train tracks, man, because, like, that's the only man I ever knew. Like, and, you know, when you sit there and, like, you take it, like, we took care of him. We stayed in the house. And you could see it. You could see him, like, declining.
Mm.
But you want to always say, he's good.
Mm-hmm.
But you know when the end is coming, man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's crazy that, you know, you in high school, whatever. I just think that you know.
Mm-hmm.
You could tell when people start saying some crazy stuff, saying, I think his brother passed away. He said he saw his brother.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, man.
Mm-hmm.
He saw Uncle John, because he was a twin, John and Jim.
Wow.
And you know that took a big toll on me personally, mm-hmm. like, cause it was, you know, Pop was like everybody, Pop, like
mm-hmm.
like everybody used to come to my house. They knew Pop, cause me and my buddies Nev and Richie and all of them, they used to mess with Pop, talking about, oh, he got a girl in the back, Pop go running in the back, you know. But I mean, the thing about it though, the best thing is that, you know, you share all these wonderful memories.
Yeah.
And you know, when I moved to Maryland, another trauma was, you know, I had a buddy, Von. He was a midget, Von mm-hmm. Newkirk.
Mm-hmm.
And me and Von used to talk every day, man. And one day I called him. He didn't answer.
Mm-hmm.
So then his aunt called me and was like, yeah, I saw he was the last person Von talked to. He fell down the steps and passed away last night.
Oh, man.
And, like, to this day, see, I still don't remember. I had to give a speech at his funeral. Mm-hmm. I still don't remember up there or saying anything.
Wow.
Because I think it was just in awe that me and him had that relationship, like, it was the Von and Eric show, like, he was the shortest, and I was tall, and it's like, you know, and he always come to the house, and, you know, we always used to do stuff, you know, his biggest thing was, he was down at William Patterson,
mm-hmm.
and we used to always go, he wanted us to come to Elizabeth, to the strip club in Elizabeth. I was trying to tell you. He's like, yo, let's go to this hole in the wall. I'm like, Bob, man, nobody want to do that tonight. And the next thing you know, I'll be borrowing somebody's car and we load up. But I just think that was another, like, big, like, you know, you have the moments when you feel you, like, the death really hurts you a lot more than others, you know? And I think those are, like, the two. And my grandmother, like, I talked about her like a couple of weeks when we was on the recap, that she was in a nursing home. And I used to go see her every day, home from school. I used to stop at the nursing home, go see her. I probably shouldn't have bought her like cigarettes and stuff. I did. I bought her like cigarettes. She wanted me to bring her a beer. I bought her.
Baby,
like,
bring me the Heineken.
Nah, but she always told me. She was like, man, I'm in here. She's like, well, I'm going to stop doing what I'm doing anyway. They say I'm going to die anyway. But I'm like, Grandma, you can't think like that. But I understood I understood what she was saying. She's like, well, they saying that I shouldn't be smoking. I've been smoking for 70-something years. She gave me the whole, I'm like, all right, Grandma. But I think, you know, you have the light. Because my mother was like, she's the only child. So I really didn't have, like, a lot of family members.
Mother Pooh was the only child?
Yeah, she was the only child. And, like, my Uncle Fred, her uncles, my Uncle Fred used to come around. And, you know, that's probably why she had all these kids, you know, and everybody around. Like, you know, my brother Rob, he called in for the heroes. My mother let him come in. And, you know, I have another family, you know, with Sabrina and Denise. That's his sisters. And then Denise and Sabrina have kids and Rob. So it's like we got, like, we created two families into one. And, you know, that was important for me because, you know, when we go through stuff, we all go through things, man. And it's like, it's important for us always to be there for each other, you know.
Somebody said Bond was the man.
Yeah.
That was like Robin Big. Was it Robin Big?
Yeah. That was me. And, like, I'm trying to tell you, like, you know, our goal was to, like, get out the hood, man.
Wow.
That was our mission. Like, me and him always used to talk about that all the time. And, you know, I got out, you know, and he was like, yo, E, when I'm finished, I'm coming down here with you, whatever, you know. And that was my goal for him. Like, I was like, yo, whatever you need, you know, I got you. And that's the type of person I am. I'm like, but, you know, that bothered me because, like, we talk every day. Like, you know, I got some guys, you know, my boys from Jersey, like, we talk all the time. Like, we go up and keep messing with ESL, you know. I talk to him all the time, him, Rob, Nev, and my brother Rob. I talk to those guys, like, all the time. Like, when you talk to everybody, and you probably have people you talk to, like, it's that connection.
Right.
And it's like, if something ever happened to them, like, how I'm going to feel that connection?
How you going to feel that void?
Yeah, it's going to be a void.
Yeah. Question for you.
Go ahead, sir.
What is your take on dealing with verbal abuse?
I'm probably not the best person to ask that because I'm honest. I can tell you that I say bad things all the time, yo. And, you know, I'd be a man enough to say, you know, just to, like, talking to, like, Tanya, the brain, and I probably like, oh, whatever, what you want, or whatever. That's how, like, that's probably not the right way. But sometimes, you know, my problem is I don't think before I talk.
I would say the same thing for me for that.
And sometimes, you know, you say stuff, and I don't mean no harm. At the end of the day, you know, I tell Tanya I'm sorry now. Like, I just feel like I don't mean no harm. And I probably say, like, to my mother, I say things to my mother. I'm sorry, Mom, because sometimes I think that they have to hear the truth. And I don't bite my tongue. In a way, my delivery is probably not the best.
Yes.
Let me say that, Cease. My delivery is probably not the best. I'm not a good delivery person.
Do you think us as men don't have good delivery?
Why? Because you don't have it either?
I'm a work in progress, and so are you.
God ain't done with me yet.
No. For me, I say something, I can say something, and I will go back and I think like, you know, I should never say that.
Yeah.
But I think it takes, it's an even bigger thing to go back and apologize to the person you said it to. But how much can you apologize?
Oh, they always will have it in the back of their head.
Because you have to change your way of doing things. Depending
you gotta change the cycle.
Change the cycle. Because I tell you, like, being truthfully, when we moved into our home together as one in one roof, under one roof,
That's a big change.
I was used to everything.
You should do that before you marry. Everybody, hey, I know the Bible and everybody. Yo, don't do it after you marry because it's tough.
Yeah,
I'm trying to tell you, it's real stuff, man.
It wasn't.
And make sure you test drive the car. I just lied. I didn't. Sorry, Steve.
I like my Lamborghini.
Yeah, you want to make sure the Lamborghini wrap up.
So, in our house, you know, it was just me. It was just me, you know.
And now
me
it's and my y'all.
Mom, me and my mom, because I live with my mom. And I had my own place, too. So everything, it was just me. So then it went from me to the...
To us.
Yeah. And I had tunnel vision when I came in. I had tunnel vision.
You wanted it a certain way without asking them.
Yeah.
Yeah, oh, I know.
And...
That's what guys do.
The girls, one day I was downstairs in the basement, and they said, Papa Bear, when you come in the house, I would say hi, and I talked to my sister about it, my sister Stephanie. Shout out to Stephanie.
Big shout out to Steph. Keep him off this bridge.
Right. So I was talking to her one day, and she said, Carol, you can't go home and just right off the bat ready to fuss. Or ready to talk about what's going on. You can't do that.
That's what you used to do.
That's what I did.
Wow, certain things wasn't the way you left it, right. Probably.
Or not certain things, but come in the house, the kitchen, everything is dishes all in the sink, and you know, it's just them there or whatever. So
you know it wasn't you.
No, because I wasn't there.
Yeah, I understand.
So the girl came to me one night and was like, Papa Bear, when you come home, you just... Rah, 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 rah. And I thought about what they said. And
that's mental health. You got mental health issues.
I went back and I apologized to them.
You got mental health issues. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because I had a tunnel vision.
We all. I do too.
Of how my house was. And I wasn't happy on how things were going.
So you fuss automatically.
Right. But that closed them down on me. Because you see, I'm the only man that they have to,
yeah.
How do I say this? Not the only man, but I'm the only one that they're looking to or guide.
They see. Right. Yeah.
Right. And for me to go, you know, 0 to 60, it wasn't healthy.
You did it.
It wasn't healthy. Yeah, and I did it. And I admit that I did it. And I have from then grown to where I'm in now. And every time I reflect back what I did, and I try not to do it again. I really try not to do it again. Yeah. And that is a big part of us as humans. It's hard for us to say sorry. It is hard for us to repent for what we did wrong. If we hurt somebody's feelings, you know.
But you won't know unless somebody tell you, though.
Yeah, you won't know because they'll hold it in.
And then it comes out on that big argument.
Mm-hmm.
You did this. You did that. You did that.
Well, when did I do that? That was like 2 years ago.
But now it's all coming up.
Mm-hmm.
It's all coming up.
Mm-hmm.
So
I have learned to talk about it, and I would say my wife has learned to talk about it.
Yeah, you got to talk things
because
through.
Because we had came to accustomed to sweeping things underneath the rug.
Yeah, you can't see for them
and
to blow
up. And I think
up.
In the community, in our community, in a lot of people's community, they sweep things underneath the rug.
Then
that's what you just said. Things happen over 2 years of it saying that, oh, you did this 2 years ago.
I ain't like the way you talked to me and the girls when you said that. You're like, when was that? Oh, about a year ago.
Right. So I have learned to voice my opinion.
Yeah, voice it.
And talk about things.
You got to walk around the house with your chest poked out.
And talk about it.
No, it's important. I just think, like, personally for myself, I know that verbal abuse, I've been down that path. Physical abuse, nah, I never. I had a girl once.
Did you?
Yeah, she kicked me in my private area.
Ooh, Lord. Yeah. How'd you get the nerve to hit and she done kicked
me? It was a reaction. She kicked me and I, yeah, nah.
She went like this. She
yeah. Like that. But I don't condone that. I know one time me and my buddy Nev, we was in D.C., and there's a guy, like, fussing, pushing a girl.
Mm-hmm.
And me and Nev got in the middle of it. You know, who knows what would have happened. He could have killed us. You know what I mean? But, like, I was telling this story before, like, a while ago. Me and Nev, we did that, but we don't know what happened, like, when they got home.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we saved her for that moment. But they went together. They left together.
Wow.
We saved her for that moment. I don't know if he was drinking or something. But, like, physical abuse, I'm not a big advocate of that. It's some people, it's a lot of relationships that women are in physical abuse, and I know we got a couple minutes before we wrap up, but I just think that some of them just, like, think that they love them. I'm like, how you think somebody love you
and they beating
your tail?
Yeah, but it's a lot that comes with it.
It does.
Because you got to think of that person who's getting beat on. In their mind, they want to help this person.
Yeah, he's not going to do it again.
They ain't going to do it again.
That's what they keep saying in their mind.
They're going to change. We can get through this.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not going to change because that person needs help. They need help, and you're going to need help. Because if you decide to stay or leave, hopefully you leave the situation, you got to get help for yourself.
Yeah.
Because you're going to go into another relationship, and not saying that the same is going to happen, but you might have somebody, like I had somebody I used to talk to was in an abusive relationship. I never knew it until me and her talked one day. But when I was there for her, I was something that she never had.
Mm-hmm.
But she forced me away because I didn't abuse her.
Yeah.
I didn't downgrade her. But I remember one day I stopped at the store.
Uh-oh, here we go.
And I got her some flowers, right? And we were supposed to go somewhere. But I stopped at the store. I'm going to get her some flowers. I got to the house. Eric, don't you know this girl went off? You late, blah, blah. I'm like, what?
I got you some frozen.
I just got you some flowers, yo. You tripping.
Bye, Felicia.
Right. I did leave. I
would have.
Because I'm like, no, I'm not doing that. But she apologized because of what she went through.
Yeah, you're right.
Years later, she apologized. Oh, you know, that's why I did such and such.
Yeah.
And probably, hopefully, is in a better place now. You know, but I was just like, wow.
Yeah.
You know.
All right, see, so we got to get ready to head out. I see we got a lot of questions on Facebook. Facebook, we're going to answer that. We got to get ready to go. Love Radio Network. In closing, I wanted to say successful couples do not allow mental illness to destroy their marriage or relationships, but instead view this circumstance as a challenge to be managed and overcome. Both partners must be responsible for themselves and have a healthy response and reaction to unexpected or problematic situations to thrive.
Mm.
You can both make adjustments so that the new reality of the partnerships becomes a manageable and happy situation.
Wow.
Thanks again for tuning in to Man Cave.
Do I have a second to pray real quick? Can I pray?
Yeah,
real quick?
Go ahead.
Father God, we come to you right now this morning. Thank you for another day and asking you to continue to help those who are seeking guidance, who are going through abusive relationships, going through relationships of verbal abuse and going through situations of losing somebody, Lord God. I just ask that you continue to bless them, let them know that there's a brighter day coming for them, and let them seek guidance and help, be it a therapist, being a family member that they can really talk to, Lord God. But I just ask on this day, on this morning, that we help each other and that we do better for not only ourselves, but for one of our brothers or sisters. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Thanks again for tuning in to Man Cave. We'll see you next week.
You're listening to the Love Radio Network Worldwide. LoveRadioNetwork.com. Educational, inspirational, trending topics, and the hottest hit. With award-winning talk show host and personality. And you made us number one. Thank you. Love Radio Network. Building a network of love.
Couch Chronicles with Simone Hurt, Wednesdays at 9 p.m. Eastern. This show is based upon men and women of each generation being able to talk and explore the various life cycles from cradle to the grave, learning from each other's experiences. Couch Chronicles empowers those who have taken the journey but may not have the understanding of their options to grow to the strongest kings and queens that they are. Tune in to Couch Chronicles Wednesdays at 9 p.m. Eastern with Simone Hurt on LoveRadioNetwork.com.
Thank you for using Blog Talk Radio. Goodbye.